get the Yugo, the rise and fall of the worst car in history, or one of 75,000 other great audiobooks absolutely free when you visit audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow today.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
Fresh from signing my life away to buy a new house, I'm Zach Bowman.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Chris Sawyer.
Also in Roab Central, I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm most venerable producer, Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 37, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like fifth-generation butchers, we hand-select the choicest cuts of news from the internet, carefully removing the cohesive zen-like theme. As we slice the flanks into delicious discussions and succulent segments, we triage the leftovers. Whatever doesn't make the cut or falls on the floor, we turn into scrapple, along with the sweetbreads and other organ meat, dumping it all in the blind spot. Because as long as it sounds appealing and the price is right, people will listen. Welcome, everyone. Here we are. Episode 37 of your favorite auto-themed podcast. Auto-themed most of the time, generally.
Hey, Roundabout. Craigie.
Yes, Michelle.
I think PETA is calling you.
What's wrong with a little organ meat shaped into a loaf, and you can slice it up for breakfast, Michelle? Come on.
It's called head cheese.
Or scrapple.
Or getta.
Okay.
But
sausage.
Zach?
It's all just awful.
that actually is the foodie term for it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You are too clever, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, say that again.
It's all just awful.
Oh, instant rim shot isn't working. There we go.
No, it's on the 30-second delay again.
30-second delay on the instant rim shot.
Not so instant rim shot.
Well, we've got some important news to get out of the way at the top of the show here. First of all, our very own Zach Bowman is back.
Back.
Back in Zach.
Ow, ow. Back in
yep.
Zach.
Zach, we're glad
I thought for a minute there Michelle was going to go into some really bad 70s porn riff.
Wait!
Things have happened.
Just sound like you're getting the music ready. Wow, wow. You know, it's like, uh-oh.
God. We're Chris, less than 2:40 on the clock.
I'm sorry.
You've boat anchored us already. So, Zach.
Yes.
Congratulations. First, you bought a house. How'd that go? What'd you get? Bungalow? Colonial?
Oh, I got a little ranch, a little 1,200 square foot upstairs, full basement downstairs, 2-car garage.
Cool.
Oh, that's living the life right there.
Yeah.
He gets a job at Autoblog, goes on a spending spree. Look at that.
Moving on up, buddy.
I know, to the east side or something.
Actually, we're east side of town.
Him and Wheezy.
There you go. And, of course, we've got our old reliable Jeffrey Ross.
Old reliable I am.
From the geriatric state down in Jacksonville. How are things?
My mercury parked up tight.
You didn't miss dialysis, did you?
No.
No, not quite. Well, I'm glad you could make it, Jeff. It's a pleasure as always.
It's good to be here.
Well, you don't have to lie. It's episode 37. Of course, we've got Eric Tritko.
We all know better at this point.
Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're live in studio.
Usually.
Typically, yes. Michelle Naranjo out in the Long Beach.
You should just throw in the BlackBerry voice.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah, we need to get that.
We'll get it in the end. Something.
The Long Beach. It's the LBC.
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays?
For like the last 20 years?
It was 20 years ago.
I can't keep up with those youngsters nowadays. They're just coming up with all these hip-hop talk. I don't know what's going on.
Did you say call Michelle Naranjo?
See, if Dr. Stephen Hawking says Naranjo, I'm going to say Naranjo. That's a man I trust. And, of course, joining us in the studio live right now, Roundabout first timer.
Yes, I'm a roundabout virgin. Wait a minute. That sounded really weird.
It's okay. I'll be gentle.
Mr. Christopher Sawyer from Cars in Context. I don't know how we conned a legitimate journalist coming on here, Ben. He's confused or under the influence of something.
Yes, I forgot to take my sanity pill this morning. So.
Well, we're glad you could make it.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, maybe we'll have you back on if you don't go running for the door in 20 minutes.
We'll see.
Yeah. And we're glad that you're bringing some age and maturity to the show. I think we really need that. And particularly
definitely
age.
Bringing the age, but yeah. I don't know about the maturity part about it.
Yeah, you're older than Eric, and that's or Michelle, rather. She's the she takes the crown.
Senior, right?
senior member,
the senior executive.
Well, yes, well, Craig, you're not well. Now that Zach's officially a homeowner, that makes you the only person still living with mommy and daddy.
Oh, snap. In the basement, no less.
Wow.
Ouch. Or Hot Pockets, Mom.
Oh. Now starts the watery stool talk.
Oh. Mom, I'm talking to my friends.
I'm chatting with super hot babes. Oh, God. Well, before we get bogged down anymore, Ben.
Only Craig's mother was that lucky.
Oh.
Ben, thank you for putting up with all this and getting the tech side of things done.
You're welcome.
And you also have some important news to announce. Zach bought a house, but you're adopting a new member of the family. Why don't you tell us about Boondoggle?
Boondoggle. Boondoggle's what Craig wants me to name.
Well, Boondoggle or Vanderbilt.
What?
Well, his Vanderbilt was my
Vanderbilt,
second choice.
Yeah.
That's a much better name than the one he's coming with.
Yes.
What is the official name of your new family member, Ben?
Cottontail.
What?
Are you getting a rabbit?
That's what the breeder named it.
Wow.
Well, what are you getting, first of all?
So your breeder rode on the short bus? Is that what you're telling us? Cottontail?
Wow. I'm getting a Maine Coon kitten.
Oh, cool.
Hey, we used to have one of those.
Yes.
So. I put the link to his little picture on the web.
Ben is so cheap, he stooped to the level of buying the runt.
It was a good deal. Cash. You couldn't pass it up.
What can I say? It was a good deal.
And the nice thing is you'll have so much hair around your house, you'll be able to knit sweaters for everyone you know.
Cat hair sweaters.
$700? Please tell me you did not pay that for a
cat. It was the runt.
I told you, they knocked off like $200?
You don't want to know what I paid for Lola.
We're not going to ask.
Well, that's a dog.
That's worth it. It's useful.
Dear God, I got my cat for free.
You go to the pound.
I mean, admittedly, we paid, you know, like a couple hundred for ours, but that was with shots and, you know, fixing and all that crap. That's a chunk of change.
This one picture makes the cat look like it has fetal alcohol syndrome.
Jeff, it's better than having SIDS, right? Oh, God. Oh, well.
We have just jumped off the track and we're heading down the road.
Speaking of kittens, this week's theme is All God's Creatures Great and Small. And we've got a truly touching lineup of heartwarming stories to share with you all today.
Those don't sound like jungle sounds at all. It sounds like...
You sprung a leak again, Ben.
Sounds like a generator needs more.
Last time I trust YouTube.
It's called planning, Ben. You might want to listen to the sound effects before you play them live. Just a suggestion. I don't want to tell you how to produce this, but... Just want to put that out there.
But actually, he does want to tell you how to do this. So.
Well, maybe he'll be better at it next time, you know?
Apparently Craig missed that or chose to ignore it.
Yes. Well, probably a little bit of the second. Well, most. Well, yeah.
Sorry, that's talking about very inside baseball on that one.
So we've got a touching lineup of stories to share. And Zach, why don't you tell us about about that dog that got hit by a car?
Speaking of touching stories. All right, so a driver in Chile was cruising along on the highway, and a dog rides out in front of his little Citroen, and he hits the dog, and he's moving at highway speed, so he just assumes, you know, no point in stopping. You drive straight.
He's got enough for dinner already in the freezer.
That's right. So. You know, why not? You drive straight to the shop. They put the car up on the lift, and lo and behold, the dog is in, like, behind the front fascia, supported by, like, that little plastic crap that they put on the bottom of your car. And the dog's more or less okay. Like, you know, his paw's a little roughed up, his right front leg's a little roughed up. But other than that, he's fine. So they just drop down the bodywork, and out he comes.
A little scamp pops out.
And that poor dog is going to have to tell all his other dog friends that he got hit by a Citroen.
I know, right?
I mean, good God, get hit by a real car.
How is this even possible? There's no, like, opening in the bumper or grill that's big enough for that little pooch to slide into. I don't care if he's covered in Vaseline or not.
But that's the 5-mile-an-hour bumpers. They move around and discontort.
Combobulate.
Discontort. I like that.
Discontort.
Discontort.
So, Michelle, what's the last mammal you ran over? I know you do a lot of that in SoCal.
Now, what is your husband's name again?
Yes, but all of those in SoCal are illegal, aren't they?
Oh. I can't believe this dog survived.
I can't either.
This is almost like a publicity stunt or something.
For whom?
I don't know.
Citroen, our bumpers will hold your dog.
We cradle.
Well, if this was in the U.S. and let's say a Chrysler hit it, then Chrysler would charge an up fee for the new dog carrying option.
The bumper.
In the bumper.
In the, yeah.
Dog pocket.
TM. Teriyaki flavored.
Yes. Wow.
But this is incredible that the thing survived. Freeway speed.
It's not just that it survived, but that the Citroën hit it and didn't fall apart.
Are Citroëns that bad?
Pretty much.
I've never driven one.
They're good enough to win rallies, you know, I figure.
Yes, but those are specially built by people who know how to screw things together.
Has screwdriver technology not made it to France?
It's not that it's not made it to France. France is just that the French are doing it. I do not care. Someone hand me another cigarette and a baguette. I am going off to drink my coffee.
It is break time.
Exactly. But you've only been here for 4 minutes, Pierre. I know, but I'm pissed off.
Oh, my God.
Zachary, do you happen to know how fast this vehicle was traveling?
No, as with most things on the internet, there are remarkably few details. So we don't know how fast the guy was going. We don't know how long he drove with the dog in there. We don't know if they found the dog's owner. We don't know if the dog was okay.
We don't even know if it even ever happened.
Yeah. It could be Photoshop.
Well, you know, that video makes me laugh. Because they all stand around and talk and laugh for about 15 minutes before they pull the dog out.
Well, maybe they're trying to figure out what the hell they were going to do. You know?
The dog's remarkably calm as they're pulling him out.
Yeah.
Too. Just kind of like hanging out like, hey.
Oh, look, this petite chien is stuck in my bumper. What am I going to do?
Do they speak French in Chile? I'm not sure.
They do now.
Pierre got flown in specifically for
exactly. Pierre,
had to get
that's why he was on break. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, in an equally animal-related story, Jeff, you've got our next one in the rundown here. Well, this one involves another European country as well. What's going on?
Wait, Chile's not European.
I meant France. Anyway,
instead of one
journalist,
instead of one dog being in the road, Greece has millions of frogs in the road.
We're back to France.
They're on holiday, right?
They've all left the Citroën line and they're walking around Greece looking for
the topless beach. Right?
Exactly, looking for a good euro.
In Thessaloniki, Greece.
I thought that was like something you get at a restaurant.
They've exchanged their absinthe for rakı.
Apparently so.
Anyway, there's a ton of frogs in the road, and the Greek police had to shut down the interstate because people were swerving to not hit the frogs. And
I thought everyone hated the French, and that you get like 20 points for hitting them.
40 if they're never mind.
I think we should just change this week's theme to the French.
Oh, God. They were our revolutionary allies. We can't turn our backs on them.
This has been so much more cohesive than any of our other themes so far.
Well, yes, absolutely. They may have been our Revolutionary War allies, but they screwed everybody in World War One.
And two.
And, yes,
some
and
some serious
two.
Vitriol. I don't think I've ever hated another nationality that much. I'm just saying.
Have you been to France?
All I can say is go
I
with
have,
it.
Actually.
Yes.
Well.
Face.
So back on subject here. Stay on target. Frogs, Greece, what's going on? Where'd they come from?
Jeff? Their parents?
Jeff?
There's a neighborhood in Los Angeles that's right by Dodger Stadium. It's sort of off the 5 freeway. It's called Frog Town because it's right beside the river. And I know everyone thinks we have a concrete river, but it really is a real river that they concreted over. And when it floods, when it was not concreted, the frogs used to come into the streets of this neighborhood to the point where they couldn't leave their homes.
Were they wearing gang colors?
Now it's a very gang neighborhood. It's actually, but it's called Frog Town.
You and there's a Crip, there's Michelle? A gang called.
she sounds like a blood.
I run with the frogs, yo. Well, it doesn't say where they came from. It says they probably left a nearby lake looking for food.
That's a good reason to leave if you're hungry.
But this is like whenever I see someone, you know, the single car accident, oh, a squirrel ran out in front of me, so I'm going to plow into a tree. I always say you got to weigh your costs and benefits here of swerving to crash your car to miss frogs.
Well,
and possibly killing yourself or others.
Yeah, you know. It says I can understand, you know, if the frogs, you know, 12 million frogs – that might make the road a little slimy and that cause crash. But swerving to miss a frog, I mean, come on.
That's right. Besides, they could end up in the grill and be held by the bumper and you drive around. Yeah.
Well,
what was that movie where it rained frogs? It was like the one with Cameron Diaz and it was not
Isn't
being
that the Bible?
Yeah. Yes. I think it's Revelation, quite honestly. And then the Lord made it rain frogs, for he was truly pissed.
Well, is it true
that's
that
King James version, right?
Yes, exactly.
Smashed frogs are slipperier than ice?
I would think so, because it's a gooey mess on the inside, yeah. If I remember my high school biology.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Wasn't Woodrow Wilson in office?
No,
did they
Woodrow
even have
had
frogs
just,
back then.
Yeah,
they still dinosaurs.
No, actually, it was Teddy Roosevelt was in office, and frogs had just been invented.
Wow, that's old.
In fact, we were still writing the book on sex, so it's a long time ago.
Glad you guys got that done.
Yeah.
That worked out for the rest of us.
Well, you know what they say, if you have to look at a book. Anyway.
So, Michelle, you've got our next animal-themed story. What's going on here?
Well, it's really the loss of an animal, isn't it?
Well, I suppose
because
so, yeah.
Dodge has decided to drop the Ram logo from all of its marketing.
As
it's
opposed
not
to
being
parts
dropped.
Going down the highway.
Right. They're not dropping it from the vehicles and they're not dropping it from their dealership signage, because I'm sure that would be a huge lawsuit if they forced the dealers to change all their signage.
Well, it would cost money too.
Exactly. Money they don't have.
Exactly. So they have now adopted this two red parallel stripes sort of tilted forward. I don't know what you call it.
Forward slash.
It's missing the HTTP colon.
Yeah, those two red stripes are a takeoff from the 70s Mopar deal. It used to be one of their logo, and then it went to RT, I think, is where it really caught on.
Well, I almost thought,
exactly.
What was it, the forward
RT,
look?
And I want it on my tennis shoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speed slash.
it's like what the sound a samurai sword would make. If you were swishing it through the air,
the Zorro.
Two of those. What's that, Michelle?
It's the Zorro.
Sort of. Yes.
Yeah.
Zorro-san.
I don't understand why they were breaking Dodge off from the Ram trucks in the first place.
I don't either.
Oh.
I mean, the Ram, to me, you know, the Charger looks nice, but, you know, the truck, that defines the brand, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the backstory?
Well, it's funny
here?
Because the rest of the domestics – decided that now's a really good time to start paring down their brands. And Chrysler is like, no, f*** that. We need more brands.
Well, actually, the reason they did it was that inside the company, Dodge was really, shall we say, poorly defined. And the only thing that was defined was Ram. And so they decided if they pull Ram away, which is well-defined, then the Dodge guys have to figure out just what the hell they are. And now they're in the midst of that. And it's like anybody on the street in 15 minutes could tell you what Dodge is, but apparently
it's the
guys.
Avenger. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's the Neon. Hi, hello.
Yes. Until they get the Fiat 500.
I always thought it was like a move for Fiat to kind of phase out Dodge and Chrysler and just make
Ram and Jeep. There is that. If it all goes upside down on them, they can just take Jeep and Ram and say, oh, hey, look, we got trucks too. Let's go have some more pasta.
The stereotype episode.
Yes. Well, they walk away and say, damn, thank God we got rid of that Sebring.
Or the Nassau.
Oh, yeah.
Someone didn't you watch last week's episode, Craig? Or was that 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I know.
I mean, come on. Continuity.
You wanna fill the rest of us in who may have missed that?
Anybody home? Hey, think with fly thing.
I think it was last week. We announced on Roundabout Show that NASA is not being used.
I know. It got dropped, but it was an awful name anyway, so it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, apparently they're going with Redondo Beach instead.
The LBC.
Yeah.
So what do you so really this is a story about nothing. It's kinda like Seinfeld.
Or Leslie News.
Right? I mean,
what's the deal with Dodge?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Except the Avenger sucks.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I had an 82 Dodge pickup until just a few years ago with a camper shell on the back, by the way.
The Rampage?
Cute little beefy Ram on the hood, and someone stole it. I love that thing.
Didn't the eyes glow in the dark or something?
I wish.
No, but some gang member is using it as a belt buckle, I'm sure.
I know.
There were no Mack trucks around to steal the bulldog off of anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
That one's cute, too.
All right. Well, shifting gears here. It's a column shift, you can see.
How is your Taurus police car?
Okay.
All right. I've got our next
Taurus bull. See, I'm keeping it in
the theme. Eric, this man here deserves an award for clever. All right.
And makes all of our ears bleed with the more you know.
Yes.
Hearing is the most overrated sense.
That's right.
That's true.
Anyway.
But you can read with your ears, Craigie.
We'll get to that later,
we'll
Michelle.
Get to that later.
They get one plug per show. All right.
But if you're reading ahead in your hymnal, it's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
Let me type that later in my browser right now. All right. So our next story comes courtesy of the Detroit News. And although it is not directly related to animals, it involves some things that fly, like birds. So,
like an auto bird podcast?
Yes, you could say that. You could say that.
Caw.
That means he didn't have the sound effect queued up, Chris.
Yeah, he'll fix that in post.
No, he won't. He does as little as humanly possible in post. I chopped the ends and compressed it. There you go. What more do you want me to do?
What more do you want from me?
It makes it more of a real experience that way.
It's gritty. And he sprung a leak again.
And 30 seconds later.
Okay, so supplier company Ricardo has developed...
Montalban?
Eric, can I finish, Eric?
No.
Can I finish?
Gotta love Dana Carvey. So, Ricardo...
Or not...
they're an English supplier, right, Chris?
Yes, indeed.
They've come up with a new engine, which, by the way, is called the Wolverine 3, which is designed to power unmanned aerial vehicles.
The Wolverine.
Ooh.
The smelliest animal on earth.
And the mascot for U of M.
Indeed.
I got that right, Eric.
Aren't they on probation?
I don't care. So apparently they have come up. Oh, sorry. A 3.1 liter, two cylinder, two stroke.
Are you sure that isn't
injection.
A 3.1 horsepower, not a 3.1
right.
liter?
Yes.
Ben, fix that in post. 3.1 horsepower, two it's cylinder, marked. Two stroke direct injection engine that uses heavy fuels.
Yes.
The only thing heavy I know about is heavy mayonnaise. You get it in the giant tubs at Costco.
Mayonnaise.
Because it's military, does the EPA not care that it's a two-stroke?
Of course not.
Yeah, actually, the EPA does care. This thing has got this killer injection system that they won't even show anybody so that it burns clean.
Is it like the orbital system? Orbital injection system?
No, they're claiming it's something really rather special. And so they're saying that if the thing breaks in field, you put it in a box and send it back to Ricardo and they send you a new one because they don't want anybody messing with this thing.
Any idea what it could be? Wayne, isn't there?
I think that it's alien technology, quite honestly. but it has something to do with this really, trick injector and how they're injecting it into the combustion chamber. And so they don't want anybody peeking in there. So no looking under the...
Under the bonnet.
Under the bonnet and seeing what's there.
Yeah. But two-cylinder, two-stroke, that's even more intriguing because that's a lot of technology for this tiny little engine, which, how big are the aircraft?
The reason why it would be two-stroke is because it would weigh about half to two-thirds as much as a four-stroke engine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And there's about two-thirds as many moving parts in a two-stroke engine.
That's right, Eric.
So for simplicity.
That's right, Eric.
And you could probably, if you wanted to, rebuild it in the field in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. If
like
you didn't have to look into the box and send it back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Having had to rebuild my Honda RS125 motor in the pits in about 35 minutes before, yes.
Yeah. And one of the reasons they did this is because right now they're using weed whacker motors in these UAVs, and they're running them on gasoline, and the gasoline comes to them. You usually have to go into the village you're in, which is hard in Afghanistan. And
aren't village.
Yes, exactly. And some kid will sell you gasoline in a water bottle, and you don't know what's in there, and it's usually got low of crap in it, and the UAV will stay up for about an hour, and then that's the end of its life. So they figured that, hey, we'll do this special motor, run it on the same JP-8 everything else in the military runs on, and we'll put this killer motor in there, and we'll run it for 3 hours up in the air. So
before it blows up.
Before we have to bring it down and refill it. So it's rather cool, actually.
It sounds cool. I mean,
but they're also going to use it here. They're not just for military. I mean, they've got a lot of interest from states who want to use it for things like, I don't know.
Border security.
Well, there is that, yeah. But also flying over the more remote areas of the highways and seeing if they need to be repaved or whether they've even been
in
plowed
Michigan,
in the winter.
It's just, everything needs to be repaved.
Exactly.
Save money on the
we just want to push the restart button and start all over again.
Yeah.
Paving is still a theory in this state.
Well, I think Alexander Lukashenko over in Belarus gave us our lessons on the road work.
Yes.
They're terrible in Michigan. If you haven't driven here, awful.
Yes.
So do you think we'll ever see this technology migrate to cars? Because Ricardo, aren't they the supplier for GM?
Funny you ask that, because I was at that press conference and I asked them about that, and they said that one of the things that they could do with it if it came down to it, because the engine has an integrated starter generator on it, so they can run it on battery power for a while. And I said, so like a Volt. And they said, well, actually, funny you say that. If we upsize it a little bit, not a hell of a lot, we could replace the four-cylinder in the Volt, and you wouldn't have to have this four-cylinder motor sitting in there using all that gas. And it's like, okay.
So it really would get 230 miles to the gallon.
Exactly.
That's right, Eric.
They'd have a use for that plug. URL.
230 mpg until the EPA said no.
Two-stroke. Mm-mm. Not going to fly.
But wait, my little two-stroke garden tiller, I have to mix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They allow two-strokes in California?
No.
Michelle got smuggled that in from Nevada.
Yes.
I bought it used on Craigslist.
Is it a snapper? It's a good mower.
That is not a good mower.
It's a tiller. It's a tiller. I mean, you know, one of my clients sells a margarita maker that has motorcycle handles, and it's a two-stroke, and you rev it.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Margaritas, right?
One, yeah.
But they can't sell them in the state of California. They have a force, some other version that they can sell in California, and it's more.
I'd really like to see a horror movie where the murderer uses that as his main weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. A horror movie where California.
The next Bruce Campbell movie.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Another Detroit boy. Yeah.
So the chainsaw has got a 2-stroke blender on one hand instead of the
That's a damn good margarita.
I'd pay to see it.
So it'll be interesting.
That's Burn Notice.
Yes.
That's a good show, by the way. I have seen it.
What?
So when I say Gabrielle Anwar, you would know her?
She's that.
Unfortunately,
that nice
the sister show to that is not very good.
What's that, Jeff?
Matt Nix, the producer of Burnt Notice, he also makes a new show called The Good Guys, and it's not really that good.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, well, before we get sidetracked.
They have cool cars in it, though. Oh.
That's a thin thread.
Chris, you've got our next story. And just like the one I presented, this one is not directly related to one of God's creatures.
The Proton logo is a cat.
Exactly. And VW, the other part of this story, is pouncing like a lioness on a baby springbok. Tell us about this story.
Okay.
Is a springbok.
I think you'd have to Google that one.
Serious. I have no idea.
VW is buying up just about any car company that isn't tied down right now. They just
they're pretty greedy.
They tied up with Suzuki, and now they're looking at Proton, which is aptly named since it is the part of the atom that really has nothing to do with anything.
it's not the neutron.
Well, it's close enough. I mean, it's not necessarily positive. It's just sort of there, taking up space, like. Proton.
I can
say this because I used to work for Lotus.
Oh, yes. You're an insider.
Yes, absolutely. And when they bought us, we thought happy days were here again. Then we realized, oh that's right, they're the Malaysians. Anyway.
Mal and Asian.
Yes, and they're still learning how to build cars. I think VW wants a part of Proton because they can get into the third world market much easier.
Well, first of all, what is Proton?
Proton is the Malaysian home automaker. They were created by the government. We all know good things come from the government,
Kuala Lumpur.
Uh-huh. Yes. And
Jeff, stop burrowing into your mic.
And they were originally tied up with Mitsubishi and Peugeot and Citroën and others who all walked away when they got smart. I'm sorry. Did I say
Who got smart?
Mitsubishi, Peugeot, Citroën.
No, the smart brand wasn't involved?
No, not at all. No. Thank God for that. And they years ago, in about 1996, they bought Lotus. And promised to put a lot of money into it and didn't. promised to bring the Elise to the U.S. and as soon as possible and didn't. Promised a lot of things, never really did it. And VW is looking at them and saying, you know, we can grab a hold of them. We'll get a production facility in Malaysia that will allow us to sell into all of the countries, you know, Indonesia, Thailand, all those. They can build the Jetta there and increase the number of cars that they're building off that platform and lower their costs even more and do something they've not been able to do, which is really crack that market.
Mm-hmm.
And they should also get a piece of Lotus.
The market of garbage.
The market of garbage crap Malaysian cars. Yes, indeed. And they also get, because Proton also owns, and I don't know the name of it, a motorcycle company.
They no longer own that.
Did they finally get rid of that thing?
Several years ago. They owned MV Agusta, and they sold MV Agusta for $1.
Right. But they also owned an indigenous Malaysian motorcycle.
Oh, that one I don't know.
Yes, it started
Moto Malaysia, right?
Probably Moto Lame is probably what it's called, where the wheels occasionally stay on. Yeah, they did own MV Agustia for a while. That's true.
They sold it for $1 plus the assumption of debt to Harley Davidson, who promptly dumped a lot of money into it
and got
refreshed all the brands and go, hey, we don't know what to do with sport bikes. We already killed Buell, and now we have this exclusive brand, and we don't like exclusive brands who don't appeal to people with bandanas.
Exactly. And don't have tattoos. And the thing that really ties us all together is guess who's looking at buying MV Agusta? Volkswagen.
You're right. Yeah.
Someone please. Volkswagen. Yeah. We need to build motorcycles so that we can go to the Sudetenland quickly. And then from there to Poland.
It was just a vacation.
It was just a vacation. I found to see Moscow next. The whole thing about this is, will they get Lotus? That's the real question. Because,
well, that's probably what they really want, right?
Well, the thing is, if you look at what's been going on with Lotus recently, towards the end of, 6 months ago, they brought in Danny Behar from Red Bull, where he was running their commercial.
It gives you wings.
Yeah, it gives you wings and gas and everything. they were running their commercial side for them. And Danny, who had been originally at Ferrari, brought in a Ferrari designer. He brought in a whole bunch of other people. They now are going to be building all of these cars and doing all those wonderful things with money that no one knows where it's coming from. They started up the Lotus Formula One team again. Could be. Started up the Lotus Formula One team again. And the only reason anybody can figure for all of this is that they've wanted to sell Lotus and they want to get rid of it. And now that VW is part of the whole thing, doesn't it make it much easier to say, no, Lotus isn't worth £100 million. It's got a Formula One team and all this other stuff. It's worth £500 million.
$1 billion.
Exactly.
So, but Lotus also has an engineering firm. Does that come part of?
Oh, yeah. Lotus, the Lotus group is Lotus Design, Lotus Cars, and Lotus Engineering. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of fine engineers who have been, I can say this with out any fear of being the least bit wrong, they've been screwed over for a long time by the Malaysians, and now they can. If VW is smart, they will grab hold of them and let them do what they want to do, because there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of there. Oh, God, if we start going into Motown riffs after this, we're in real trouble.
I think that was your second pop culture reference of the evening, Craig.
Ding, 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 ding.
Show's coming apart at the seams.
Predictions? Is VW going to get Lotus?
I think quite honestly what will happen is that VW will not buy Proton. What they will do instead is what the Protonians, as they call themselves, have always wanted, and that is to buy into the company but not a majority stake, show them how to build cars better, and then watch as it collapses under its own weight and pick up the pieces. And in that, they will get Lotus and either sell them off, spin them off, or turn them into a quasi-German company, much like Hitler wanted to do with England in the war.
They're English cousins.
That's right. We do not want to fight you. You're much like us.
Except crookeder teeth. All right. So, Eric, you have our final animal, God's creature-themed story here. Bring the news portion of the show to a close. What's going on here?
Sorry. apparently, collectors are...
Apparently? That's a banned word.
Whoa.
Because Michelle...
Allegedly.
We'll just blame her.
So anyways...
Right?
Someone told me...
She has facial flatulence, too.
Snorts? I occasionally do that, so.
All right, Eric.
Car collectors are deciding that having a 192-point car that they can't take out of their bubble wrap but once or twice a year for the car shows is becoming a bit of a drag. because after you spend $14 million on a Ferrari, what are you going to do with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, allegedly, caught myself.
Good save.
Caught myself. Kick save and a beauty. sorry, local hockey reference.
Oh, we're going to get into that, eh?
Oh, geez.
So the collectors are now trying to find cars that have been sitting in barns for 25 years, like, I don't know, a 67 Mustang for $6,500 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or something like
Shut
that.
Shut your dirty mouth, Eric Tritko.
You see, since Zach works out of the home, he gets to peruse Craigslist all day.
Ah. No, this is his home, not a home.
Yeah, that's all he does. He just sits there and peruses.
My you too, God Michelle.
Damn, that's right. I don't do a damn thing else. Not a thing. I drink beer. I drink beer in my pajamas, actually.
Is it a onesie?
Bastard.
You've got the footies on it, too?
No.
Do you brush your cats?
I do usually have my cats in my lap, both of them, actually, while drinking beer and checking.
Keep your crotch warm, right?
That's all I do.
Yeah, okay. All right, Eric, what's going on? Barn cars.
Oh, my.
So the idea is people are paying a premium now for cars that have been untouched for years and years and years and are in the condition they were when they were put away, or well, something close to that. That's more authentic. More authentic.
Laser.
So proof once again that there are people with more money than brains.
Well, you can get a lot of good deals on barn finds. I mean, they're not all.
I think people are taking this American Picker show just a little too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barn finds fascinate me, though. Have you ever seen one? Because there was one at one of the Pebble Beach auctions a couple of years ago, and it was an old Ford four-door thingy from like the early 30s, I think.
Was it that 34? Was it black?
It was barely painted. Yeah, I think it was black. Oh, I think you're right.
Beautiful.
And it smelled so amazingly. I mean, the leather and the, you know, the
mohair.
Whatever.
It would be mohair. But anyway.
Right. Mohair, whatever. They weren't plastics, right? They were
some sort
of resins. They were Bakelite, maybe? Mm-hmm. No, they weren't even Bakelite then, were they?
It's sawdust and glue, basically.
it would have been Bakelite. Yeah.
It just smelled amazing. I loved it.
Was it like leather-bound books and mahogany?
It's like it's like going diving in a lake in Switzerland and finding a Bugatti.
Bugatti.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was at the Mealy Island Concourse d'Elegance in the spring, and this guy had an original AC Cobra, or the Shelby Cobra, and the guy got sick of people offering to buy it, so he just built a wall in his garage and then covered it up. And I think it's a shame.
Ugh. We have a word for those people, but we don't use it in polite company.
You may not use it.
You know what? My best friend in Texas has this little arts and crafts bungalow that what are those called? The porchere that we used to drive through. Port cachere, yes. She had one of those, at first it was a porch, literally. She built a porch out, and then she enclosed it and made it into another room on her house. But it meant that she blocked access to her garage. And she has a Champagne Edition VW convertible bug that her parents bought her when she was 16 years old that doesn't run any longer. That is, you walk in the garage and you just see this pile of she has three kids, stuff that's in the shape of a VW bug convertible.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
And it's going to be one of those barn finds one day because they will literally have to rip down the garage to get the car out.
Jeez. And it'll probably end up in Jay Leno's garage.
Yeah, right.
Chris, tell us about your barn find. What have you got?
Well, it's nothing spectacular. It's a 69 Ford Cortina, of all things. Yes.
How the hell did you get a Cortina?
And it's not rusted either. That's the amazing part about it.
Why do you have a Cortina?
I'll try to make a long story short. I am in the process of restoring my 69 Lotus Elan, and it would be mechanically complete except that second gear synchros are the dog clutches are bad on it. So my brother decided that he needed a good gear, and he was looking around for a second gear, and he came across on Craigslist a guy who was selling all these English Ford parts. And he was local. He was a high school principal, in fact. And so we got in touch with them, and we ended up with, I am not kidding you, 8 1600cc Kent engine blocks, 2 2-liter Pinto engine blocks, 7 or 8 transmissions, none of which had a good second gear, mind you.
Minor detail.
A bunch of bumpers, trim, doors, and 2 Cortinas, one of which was a race car and one of which is my car, which neither of which had been run since 1983.
That's amazing.
And they're all were at his brother's house. His brother was a software developer who had gone a little off the edge and would start all these projects and never quite finish them. And his house looked like that – You know,
was
it's a hoarder's
house.
Yes, absolutely, a hoarder's house. Things were buried, and I mean, I feel sorry for the guy. He's a nice guy and all that, but it is a sickness. And you open up the garage, and there, under a pile of bird shit, is this Cortina,
a treasure.
And I just said, you know what?
That's mine.
I want it.
Yeah, is it, it's right-hand drive. Too?
No, it's a U.S. spec model, and
they never sold the Cortina here, though.
Oh yeah, they did.
Did they?
Oh yes.
I wasn't even aware of that.
From 1962 to 1970, I know we've had a lot.
Was
of Cortinas
it rebranded in my something else?
Nope.
Though?
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yep. You would get it from your English Ford dealer, which would be your regular Ford dealer who sold English Fords, or as the sign said, Enfo. Which was, I guess, better than mofo, but so now I've got this nice green, almost the same color as the Fiesta is now, Cortina, and I now have to get that on the road. And no surprise, being British, it has electrical problems.
Lucas?
What?
Zach wouldn't know anything about
yes,
English
Joseph
electronics.
Joseph Lucas, Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness.
Dim flickering off the 3-position Lucas switch. Yes.
Well, that's fascinating. You have to bring it by sometime.
Yeah, first I got to get it running.
Minor detail. Come on.
ebay.co.uk.
Exactly.
Well, I think at this juncture we can take a quick commercial break. But don't you worry. We will continue our discussion with Eric Tritko, Mr. Rumblestrip on Twitter, Chris Sawyer, Cars in Context. We've got Michelle Naranjo, Miss Motormouth, Jeffrey Ross, Autotropolis down in Jacksonville, Florida, and of course, our good friend, Zach Bowman from Autoblog. All of that coming right up after this quick commercial break. But right now, I want to talk a moment about Audible. Have you heard of them, Ben? Audible?
I believe I have, Craig.
Have you now?
Tell me more.
Well, there is not a better place on the internet to download quality audio content than Audible.
Lies. There has to be a better place.
Ben, they have more than 75,000 titles in their library. They have fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, history, romance, kids' books, live performances, all kinds of stuff. It's like the Library of Congress, but better. But better.
No congressman.
Exactly. So I invite all of our listeners to type in, go to their, open their web browser, type in the URL audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I'll say that again. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go there, sign up.
I didn't get that. What was it? What was it?
audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go there now. Sign up for the free trial, free 14-day trial, and you get a free audiobook. Just about any book on their site you can get for free. Free trial.
Now, nothing free could possibly be good, Craig. You think I was born yesterday?
Ben, funny you say that, because audiobooks may sound like a total snooze. Chris, I don't know about you, but just the thought of an audiobook, not so appealing. But let me tell you something. They're amazing. They come alive in your mind when you hear these and they use professional voice actors to read them as well. These aren't just – it's not like Ben reading the book. You've got this whiny, scratchy voice. No, these are – paid professionals.
Page one.
It was the best of times.
Unfortunately, they're all from Bangalore.
By Chris Bertanalaskala Page.
But you can call me Tim.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So please, I invite you to go audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Download your free audiobook. It is yours to keep. If you decide to cancel the service, you keep the book. It's absolutely free. I don't know of any other services out there today that You can down. You can get part of the service, and it's yours to keep free of charge. It's a pretty good deal. So if nothing else, go there, sign up, get your free book, check out what they've got, and we're pretty confident you'll stick around. We have an Audible fan.
Even dogs like it.
The Dog Whisperer by Michelle Naranjo. So go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Check out what they've got. They've got something for everyone, literally 75,000 plus titles to choose from. And Jeffrey, you have a pick of the week you'd like to highlight for us.
I do.
What did you find on there that caught your fancy?
Well, since the Yugo is my favorite car in the world...
Shut up.
It is. actually, it is not my favorite car in the world. But the book intrigued me. It is called The Yugo, The Rise and Fall of the Worst Car in History by Jason Vuick. And it is narrated by Eric something.
By Eric, I'm a slow reader. No?
And it talks about the background history of the Yugo, because everyone knows the jokes. I grew up in Michigan. I remember the lady flying off the Mackinac Bridge in her Yugo. And it's just the butt of all jokes. And it's a great book. What?
I can fly.
Actually, the best part of the book is every chapter starts with a new Yugo joke. Like, how do you double the value of your Yugo? You fill the gas tank. But it's the way it's read to you, it's not just like...
It's not boring.
No, it brings it to life in your mind. Mm-hmm. Like... I can picture Malcolm Bricklin's gears turning, saying the Yugo might be a good car, but he's wrong.
Ben, play a little sample.
The crowds loved it. In May 1995, literally thousands of people took in the exhibit, which then traveled to more than 20 cities, including Montreal. It was featured on NPR, CNN, NBC, CBS, and in newspaper and TV reports from as far away as Croatia. The National Enquirer even covered it. "We've gotten a better reception than we ever expected," said Celia Landegger, the creator of the Yugo Baby Grand. "We're all just blown away."
And soon a woman on the Mackinac Bridge would be too.
That's right. Who knew?
And her last words were, "I can see my house from here."
So audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Please go there, check it out, download your free audiobook today. Did I mention it's free? Check it out.
Yes. Once or twice.
All right.
Audible B!
We need a jingle, Mud Monster. Stat.
audible.com/roundabout.
We actually already did the gospel version a couple weeks ago.
Oh. So.
Can I get an amen?
Well, where's Bill Murray when you...
All right. So it is time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story that is none of the above, because we're talking about mercury getting dropped, and everybody already heard about that. So... Can we move on now?
Oh my!
Did I promo that quite nicely?
Mercury gets dropped and nobody cares. Come on!
Oh, come now, Chris.
The AARP cares. Everybody who's a member cares.
The stand-up hood ornament revival on the Grand Marquis was a big deal.
It was. It absolutely was. It was the only change made to the car for the
like
only
a gun sight for running over pedestrians.
The only people that care about mercury getting dropped, other than the blue hair crowd, are all the geeks living in their parents' basement, worried about where Jill Wagner's going to end up. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, she was hot. And they
do,
like
do the voice, Ben.
Which voice?
That's pretty much it.
Your geek voice.
Super cool.
No, neck beard.
That's pretty much like the neck beard.
No, it isn't at all like the neck beard, Ben.
Just do the Craig Cole.
She is so hot.
Ow, ow. You've probably already heard. There's discussion that kind of, I guess it leaked out, or rather, I'm sure it was a deliberate blast from Ford, that they're going to dump Mercury.
That's the rumor. After years and years of saying that they needed it to keep the production plants rolling because, you know, if we don't sell enough Fords, that 3% of Mercurys we sell will keep the UAW in business. They finally decided to pull the plug because, you know, Mercury, it hasn't meant anything since 1939 when it was started.
Yeah.
No, the Cougar was a cool car.
The Cougar was awesome, and this has nothing to do with Cougars.
And you know what? The Mercury probably would have been saved if some idiot at Ford hadn't decided not to do another Cougar in 2005, but they decided not to. And I saw some of the styling blocks they did for that, and it was pretty cool.
Was it based off the Mustang or something?
Yep. Yeah. Mm.
That brand was set for death a long time ago. They just never really had anything.
They didn't have the balls to kill it.
No, they didn't have the balls to do it right, I think.
Yeah, they never really gave it anything. Since the original Cougar, when it looked original, nothing has looked unique since.
No,
well,
right.
The original Cougar was a f***ing Mustang.
Yeah, but it looked different.
So
it stood apart.
Did you say it was a f***ing Mustang? I just wanted to make sure because it, you know, it's different from the normal Mustang.
There was this
barely
noise.
Actually, I thought it was more of a honk.
Oh my.
We're getting kicked off iTunes.
Nah, it takes a lot more
broke,
than that.
Buddy. I am going for broke. Now that I know that we can actually do that, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to get us kicked off.
So wait, you haven't been trying all this time, Zach?
I haven't. I've just been loping along. Now that I've got a purpose.
I think it's an autoblock conspiracy.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I think...
They're doubling his salary to kill us.
He's getting $20,000 a year
salary,
now?
I would do it in a heartbeat. Let's put it that way.
I would argue.
Just getting Wendy's coupons, that's all.
Free Frosty with a large French fry.
There you go. Dude, I'm there.
Bonus. Taking the lady out. No. Mercury.
See,
been...
I heard that Mercury was going to be, they were going to try to make that their sort of more female brand.
Oh, stop.
But then they did that with Lincoln, I think.
But Lincoln, they've just totally lost the thread on that one. They're. I mean, let's face it. The MKX is not bad, especially with the redo this year. The MKT it's a nice hearse. The MKZ
I like it a lot.
It's a nice fusion.
I'm sorry. Were we talking about the MKZ? I just nodded off there for a minute. It is a nice fusion, but they've got to, you can't just do that if you're going to do Lincoln. Mercury, the bigger problem with there and what they should have done, even with the one Ford strategy, is sell the cars that they under the Mercury brand that they were not going to sell under the Ford brand that you get in Europe, like the C-Max. We'll get the Grand C-Max, but you could have sold the C-Max through Mercury. You could have sold a lot of things through there.
Mondeo.
Well, the story
they just didn't do it.
Of Mercury.
Well, Mondeo is going to become Fusion. I mean, those two are going to be joined at the hip. What's the other one? The S-Max. You could have done that. That thing's gorgeous.
Well, the tragedy of Mercury is directly tied to Lincoln because Lincoln is not all that it could be.
Well, no kidding.
They had such the gorgeous Continental concept, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever. Stunning
I
car.
Blame the person's name is Phil Martins.
Really?
Yes. Phil Martins, who shall just go by his nickname, Douchebag.
Don't hold back there, Chris.
Was a Ford president who decided that along with killing SVT so that he could come back and save it, which didn't quite do, thought that he could just build everything off of common platforms and you would throw technology at cars. And
it'd be good enough.
And that would be fine, that people didn't really care about rich Corinthian leather or any other type of leather for that matter. And you could build the Taurus as a Lincoln and sell it for twice the amount and people wouldn't see through the facade. But now Ford is having to deal with what Phil Martins has left us. And he's also the man who killed the independent rear suspension for the Mustang.
Because it was an extra $90.
And the reason it was an extra $90 is he made his decision at the start of the program while they were still taking cost out of the car. They could have done it.
But this guy, yeah. I've got stories about this man, and
that's not to knock the live axle, though. It handles great for what it is.
For what it is, but come on, let's get out of the 19th century.
Oh. So, okay, you were privy to the inside Lincolns back 10 years ago or so, like the Continental, right? Mm-hmm. What, I mean, why did they not build that car? That could have been so good. And then
because
what Lincoln is now, that
was when they
Mercury.
Had, that was when they had brought Reitzler over from BMW, mm-hmm. and Reitzler was spending money like nobody, you know, he was like a drunken sailor. At least that's what the guys in Dearborn thought, because they were losing money like drunken sailors. And they, Reitzler wanted $2 billion to do a specific platform for Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten a chance
when
that'd
be rear-wheel drive.
Rear-wheel drive, V8 powered, really beautiful cars. I mean, these cars that were going to go right up against the 7 Series BMW.
Wow.
And I was able to talk to Jerry McGovern, who was the chief designer for Lincoln at the time and has now gone back to Land Rover. And he showed me some of the cars. And if you look at the concepts that were done at the time, there was a split along the fenders of the – I think it was the – Mark 9 coupe, they called it. And that those fenders actually opened up and carried – I'm not kidding you. They had picnic baskets and places to store your wine and things like that, because this car was going to be selling for over $125,000. Oh, yeah.
For a Link? That's for,
that's where they were going. That's where they were going.
But so cool.
And the cars were really, really nice and nicely done. And they had an idea of where Lincoln wanted to go. And Martins came in and he got into the whole Bill Ford, we're in a heap of trouble here thought. And he said, I can save them and I can do it for less. And
we're rolling back prices.
That's right. So he went.
he
Walmart.
It up.
Yeah, he Walmarted the whole thing, and that's why you have the Taurus, and the Flex, and the MKT, and the MKS, all built off the Volvo XC90 platform.
The D32 now 32.
Yeah. So that's how things get screwed up in this here city.
When you try to save money.
That's right. You're doing the wrong
thing. So be that a lesson to y'all.
That's right.
Keep your purse strings just a little longer.
Amen. Can I get a hallelujah from the chorus?
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right. Well, I'm watching myself in the time delay. That's creepy. I'm going to go in and switch tabs now. Yes, yeah. Michelle?
It was creepy.
Oh,
is that all you have to add?
That's all she's got.
That's
God.
It.
Oh,
women
God.
A few words.
Okay. If Lincoln could have done a rear-wheel drive, full luxury boat, that would have been awesome. And then Mercury could have been what Lincoln is today.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
would have made sense, probably. I mean,
Mercury could have been Buick?
Could have been. Well, yes.
Buick can't even be Buick these days. Come on.
Well, actually, they're doing a pretty good
job. Doing okay.
LaCrosse is nice.
LaCrosse, the Rendezvous, the Regal's going to be pretty good.
The Insignia, you mean? It's just
we're supposed to be getting hatch and long roof versions of that car too, and possibly a diesel, from what I wrote today.
Shut up.
That's consider the source. Good lord!
I'll leave it when I can see it.
That's what I got.
Okay.
Next thing you know, the Astro will be here.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So yeah. I mean, for Mercury could have been so much because they wandered from their roots initially. They obviously had to bridge the gap between Ford and Lincoln.
Right.
But they were actually different enough. They had a longer wheelbase. The 39 Lincoln was, 4 inches longer than the comparable Ford.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bigger engine.
Yep.
They were the first to get the 239.4 cubic inch flathead V8. The Fords were just, 221?
221, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Craig talking about flatheads again?
He is.
Zoned out.
So, I mean, do you think if they stuck to their roots being a more perform, could they have been a performance brand? And survived and been successful?
No one would believe Mercury as a performance brand.
Well, not now.
The Marauder was the last attempt at that.
That was
didn't
a
exactly
shamble.
Work right.
Well, yeah, but that didn't work right because Elena Ford couldn't understand that car. And when they wanted to run ads for it in motorcycle magazines because the buyer was usually a Harley owner and a cotton top, as they like to refer to them, they found out what magazines they read, and they said, dear God, they're reading all the motorcycle books. Let's run some Marauder ads in there. And Elena Ford's answer to that was,
I don't want my car associated with those damn bikers. You know bikers are dangerous.
So what you're saying is that Elena Ford and Bill Clay Ford Jr. both
came from the same gene pool, yes.
The narrow end of the pool.
Exactly. They were dropped as children on their heads. They took the short bus. Yes, whatever you want to say. Yeah, exactly. Lead poisoning.
Fetal alcohol.
Always goes back to fetuses with you, Craig.
I'm not sure I want to know.
There's a lot you don't want to know about Roundabout, Chris. Trust
us. I think so.
That's me when I say
that. So it's about time to look inside the garage.
Play that sound effect, Ben. He's got a sound effect for everything. All right, Chris, you're the newbie. I always try to ask the newbies, what car was starting up there in the sound effect? Any guess?
I will drop to your feet if you can name this.
I haven't a freaking clue.
All right. I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Play it again.
Let's just go with Engine Family. Engine Family. What you got?
Here we go. He didn't know whether to listen for it.
One more time. One more time. Let's
get
a
second chance.
Once more.
And here we go.
The starter motor and the engine may not be connected to each other.
Yeah, no, we don't know. It's definitely not a Chrysler because they had the worst starter motors. Could be, I don't want to start. I don't want to start. I don't want to start. That's what they sounded like. I'll go with a small block Chevy.
Oh, no. That would be a big block
Zach
Ford.
Bowman in the heart.
The biggest of the big block Fords. That would be a 460.
Oh, is that a 460? It sounded rather asthmatic for a 460.
Well, it's old.
And it had an exhaust leak at the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
It didn't have an exhaust leak. It had a Grand Canyon-sized chasm.
It had a pipe running right to the cabin, didn't it? Yeah. It was a floorboard heater.
It was a Dr. Kevorkian car.
It was.
A 430 Lincoln motor.
Barely got out alive.
71?
Oh, well done, Greg.
No opera windows. That's a running joke. I always accost Zach. How'd you like the opera windows on that 73 Continental? And he'd always respond, God damn it, Craig. It was a 71, and it did not have f***ing opera windows. That's his canned response.
And I should have known that because my brother's got a 67 Lincoln Continental.
See, there you go.
I should have known.
It was the first non-Lincoln motored Continental.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, now that we're in the garage, Jeff, you were in the Hyundai Tucson.
Is that how you pronounce that? Tucson?
I think there's a C and an S, two vowel consonants next. I don't know.
Isn't where the place where that city is seceding from the rest of the country?
No, they're just kicking some people out.
Is it the War of Northern Aggression again?
I think it might be.
Well, anyhow. No,
if my electricity goes out, we'll know.
More the War of Southern Immigration.
Yes.
Hyundai Tucson.
Yeah, 2010. What's up with that car?
It's completely redesigned.
Okay.
Do you have the GLS or the Limited?
I had the Limited, It had the dual sunroof panels. This thing, I mean, whatever the Genesis started, the Sonata and the Tucson have carried it on. I mean, Hyundai's gunning for like Toyota and Honda. They're coming out with some great cars. And the Tucson was really cool. I mean, it wasn't...
Chris is a little skeptical, but go on.
No, I mean, it was 28,000, so fully loaded. It competes against the Equinox and stuff like that. And this whole segment right now is just getting filled with, boring cars. And then you got something that finally looks decent.
You're talking about the Tucson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a box or the box it came in.
But it looks hideous.
Right. But, I mean, it's noticeable. I mean, that's the thing nowadays. It's not about looking good. It's about just being seen.
A pimple on the end of the nose is noticeable, too, but it doesn't mean it's a good thing. I don't think it's ugly. I think they're a little overwrought, quite honestly. They're trying a little too hard. Slow is... Come on. It's an SUV, for God's sakes.
Hey, it's quicker than the hybrid Escape.
Mm-hmm.
Hybrid.
And it's less
though.
Noisy than the base CR-V, that's for sure. That thing sounds
CR-V
like...
CR-V is so unimpressive.
Jeff, did you sit in the back seat of this thing?
I did.
And did your head touch the roof?
I guess not, since I didn't notice that.
Huh. Okay.
Jeff is only 4 feet tall, but that's...
He's Gary Coleman.
It's such that profile of, like, the ZDX and the...
The roof doesn't really have a noticeable slope until you get into the hatched area or the cargo area.
The cargo area was non-existent, but, I mean, that's what happens when they're taking these boxy crossovers and then trying to make them look stylish. The first thing that goes is the roof line.
Mm-hmm.
And then it affects cargo space.
And that car also put a little bit more into the rear seat than into the cargo area, so the cargo area isn't that deep, but it's usable.
How's the interior? Is it just an ocean of plastic?
It was hard plastic, but it was nice looking. Like,
yeah, it's well grained. It looked good.
And the seats, they were the saddle brown or chocolate brown or whatever you want to call it.
The skid mark brown.
Yeah, pretty close. It's not the right color. Not the right shade of brown. Not the right shade of brown for that car. No. Not against the black. No. No.
Was it seafoam green?
No. It was brown ish something.
How's it drive?
Copperish, yeah.
It was Acura colored?
So how does it drive?
Like an economy vehicle should. I mean,
nothing exceptional then.
No, I've never thought any crossovers are exceptional. I mean, they sit too high up to be sporty, and they're too big to be nimble. So they're just, they are what they are. A 5-passenger vehicle. We went to the Cirque de la Symphonie in this, and we had 4 people in it, and everyone was happy. So that's what people are going to do. It's like an urban car.
Okay. So pretty, give it a B minus then.
I'll give it a B.
Okay. Solid B.
Don't want to take away from its GPA.
Yeah. and
in my review online, I took away from its GPA quite heavily.
Is this a shameful self-promotion?
Yes, it is a shameful self-promotion. Mostly because
it's shameless.
Shameless, quite honestly, yes. The steering was not good on the one that
you
I hit.
You didn't care for the electric steering?
The steering was horrible. And if you turned it 5 degrees right or left, it was fine. The minute you got to 6 degrees, it hit a notch and completely had a different feel to it. And I was coming home and I was getting off at Orchard Lake Road, which is slightly banked. And it tried to steer me back onto the freeway by increasing the force turning to the left. All by itself.
Does it have, I know, 4?
It was a real WTF moment at that point because I was just going, what in God's name is this thing doing? And if you have to make an evasive maneuver in it, you can do it. But it's not going to feel good, I'll tell you that, because it feels like it's got 2 flywheels out at the front, at the end of the front axles.
Jeff, did you find the motor a little too buzzy for you?
Oh, definitely. That's the one thing I didn't like about it. There were noises coming from everything. Like when I hit the accelerator hard, it sounded like there were marbles behind the gas pedal. And just everything was noisy.
Oh, you don't like a Korean equality?
No kimchi for you.
Oh.
Oh, God. Ben, mark that.
Yeah.
We're going to get a call from Chung Mung Kung or whatever his name is.
Oh, like that helps the matter.
But Chris, you were also in a vehicle this week.
Yes.
The Mark VI Volkswagen.
Volkswagen GTI.
Gran Turismo.
And nice vehicle. I mean, I currently have a GTI, the Mark V.
Right.
And after a week with it, I am pretty convinced I'm going to release my Mark V. Mostly because they've made some changes to the Mark VI that... aren't quite right. The interior is nicely done, but you can feel the materials in some areas are a little bit cheaper, which really isn't that much of a problem because VW and Audi have been so far ahead of everybody else. It's not that it's still a nice interior, but it had more rattles to it than I expected, and had a very interesting suspension setup. This was on the 18-inch wheels and the and tires, of course, just like mine has. Although the test car was running Dunlops and my car has Pirellis, and it turned in like a go-kart, which was a little too fast for – it took a little while to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that you could really drive around because
It was too hot, too
– No, it, you know, and a Mini Cooper turns in fast, but you get used to it very quickly and you adjust to it.
Mm-hmm.
This one was not the same way. You had to really plan your turn in and do it very deliberately, because if you got a little bit faster than it wanted you to, suddenly it would dart towards the apex and you're going, no, that's not what I wanted. And you'd have to pull it back out again to where you wanted it to be. And it rode rough, much rougher than I expected. And I called VW and asked them about this. And they said that, yeah, we did some changes to the car. It's lighter than the Mark V, which I found
That's hard to believe. Unusual.
And they said they put some aluminum in the front suspension, which hadn't been there before. I don't know whether that was that they changed things to aluminum or just added aluminum to make say that they had it. And the they were trying to convince me that that this was, you know, down to shock valving. No, this was tire construction.
Is that all seasons?
Yeah, all season tires, but I got all seasons on mine as well. You know, this is something that you run into in a lot of cases in the aftermarket too, where you go and switch the tires on a car and it suddenly handles differently, rides differently, and all of that. It's the construction of the tire,
okay.
And I think in this case they just didn't pay enough attention on the Dunlops to get what they had with the Pirellis. And other than that. Fast as GTI
you got the
always 2-liter is.
Turbo.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite.
And this one,
had the
dual clutch transmission, which is the only automatic, and I use that in parentheses, or actually in quotation marks, parentheses. Dear God, that I would buy because
in Dodge marks.
Yes, and because it's close to a, you know, it really is a manual transmission underneath, and you feel like you're involved in driving the car.
That's the best.
Yeah, it's the best choice, quite honestly. And 32 miles a gallon, I can't argue with that.
It's a real sweetheart.
Chavol.
So on the opposite end of the spectrum, Craig.
Oh, on the very much so opposite end of the spectrum. Last week, Benjamin had the pleasure of spending some seat time in the Smart Fortwo, I believe it's called. And I had the same pleasure this week, and everything he said about it is completely true. It's a steaming pile of beep.
What a piece of junk.
What's that, Zach? This is a family-friendly podcast.
I'm just saying. I mean, our lovely producer is going to be going through this with a fine-tooth comb later. I mean, you might as well just give him something to do.
I mean, that's his whole weekend. Right?
I mean, come on. The only reason that car exists is to park in Paris.
Two of them next to it, spot,
or
right?
Nose into the spot on
or
the
on
street.
On the sidewalk. Even.
It's ridiculous. It has the worst transmission on the planet.
Hands down.
Automated manual.
Automated crap.
Which I once had a German transmission engineer say to me that, yeah, automated manuals, the only things they're good for is delivery vehicles. And this is why he was showing me the automated manual that was then going into the M5 that his company built.
The SMG.
Uh-huh. Oh. It gets horrible gas mileage for as small as it is.
Mm-hmm. The Fiesta equals it, essentially, and it's a Fiesta, real car.
It's 1 mile per gallon better than the Fiesta, apparently.
Sticker, though.
Yeah, but that's only sticker rating. You don't get that in the real world. And right. There's nothing like having to drive it on the freeway and find out just how big the letters that spell out Freightliner really are.
In your rearview mirror, uh-huh. As you're trying to merge.
As you're only 12 inches away from the back of your head.
I think why the real world fuel economy would be so bad is because you got to stay a wide open throttle. To get the thing to move.
Yeah.
Right. Your foot's just pinned to the floor.
I've often said the only reason for smart cars to exist is to stick a turbo Hayabusa motor and transmission into the back.
Amen.
And then you can have a reasonable
Amen.
Car.
Just like you do
Listen,
with an original
the Ford Fiesta has been around, or the Festiva has been around for years and would serve that purpose just fine. We don't need the smart for anything. I'm just saying.
No, the Justy got the Subaru Justy. Wasn't it
yeah.
the Subaru Justy?
Yeah.
That had a CVT pile
yep. gas mileage.
I mean, I
also had three cylinders.
That car has no purpose to exist. And driving, if you've ever driven past one on the highway doing 70 miles an hour, you'll hear the engine just screaming
mm-hmm.
if you've ever passed one. They're just, it sounds like they're at red lines.
Oh, yeah. It is a poster child for automotive euthanasia.
Well, I don't have anything against...
Drivers always look so happy with themselves, don't they? They're like, yeah, I'm saving the planet. Look at me and my smart. I'm smart because my card says so.
Stupid.
All lowercase.
Homer Simpson smart, S-A-M-R-T.
I mean, I got nothing against small cars. I mean, the Mini is nice. I would never want to own one. I mean, Chris, you had one.
$299, no money down lease.
Again, I would never want to own one.
Mm-hmm.
But you had one, Chris, and they put the Preemie in premium. They're small.
The Preemie in premium? Getting back to fetuses again.
Right back to
fetuses.
They're
very nice. The Smart could have been that nice, but it sure as hell isn't.
No.
And I think that's enough. Not the Smart.
They need to done blow that car up.
And, you know, now they've got Jill Ladzak, who used to be over at Saturn. Yeah. She's now their marketing person. And her big thing is, take one home for two nights, three nights if you need to. Take it for a week, please. We'll count it as a sale.
Yeah. So with that, we can move right along to our next segment, which is Meet Your Roadmates. Did you like how I trilled that?
Yes. That was very nice.
Driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? I don't know. Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, what have you and your ROAB-approved supercomputer got for us this week?
Well, only random chance can tell, of course.
What's
so
up?
Let's start it up. Son of a bitch. I'm gonna get the next one. There we go.
There it is.
Yep.
You gotta put the choke on, Ben.
Sorry, I always forget.
Push the bulb three times.
Well, anyway. All right. First choice. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Choice number one is a 2006 Scion XA. Who would drive a 2006 Scion XA?
So let me just explain this to Chris since he is the newbie here. This is a segment where we take a vehicle, picked at random by Ben's supercomputer, and we talk about the person that would drive said vehicle. So Eric, we've got a Scion XA. Who would drive one of these things?
Well, according to Scion's demographics, probably a 50-year-old empty nester.
You had a Mini, not a Scion, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or some 18-year-old frat girl. Sorority girl. Frat girl. That might be a problem.
a little more accurate there.
Sorority girl.
Sorority girl who has poor parents.
Zach, who would drive one of these?
I'm going to have to agree with Eric. I'm going to say there's a lonely, lonely grandmother driving that car.
Jeffrey.
I would have to say me. When I take my car in as a rental car.
Okay, fair enough. Naranjo?
You know, I'm going to have to go with Eric's first choice, which is the 18-year-old frat girl, because I think my dad would have bought me this.
I was better than the Tempo. She was keeping the beat.
Yeah, I had a friend total my Tempo when I was 19, and my dad bought me a Civic wagon that was a few years old, and the wagon rocked. But he would have loved this, actually, if I was 19 and he was looking for a car for me. So, I was a 19-year-old frat girl.
These are very popular on the east side of Dearborn for the driving schools.
Really?
Yeah, I only see them around here as rental cars.
I imagine some poser driving one of these. They've got maybe a low 20s age. They've got stickers on it, dark tint on all the windows, just like the car, the sample car Ben pulled. Someone that thinks they're cool, urbane, thinks their car is hot, but it's a slow piece of crap.
So it's a step up from a Focus?
Yeah, he still would ask her out.
Oh, that was a good one.
So, Chris, who would drive one of these?
Well, the last person I saw driving one of these things was a 6'2", I'm guessing, burly guy, and I do mean burly,
husky fella,
just jammed into this thing. Obviously had bought it when gas was at $4 a gallon and he couldn't afford to drive the pick-em-up anymore. Uh-huh. And I'm guessing that he was recently divorced and this is what all he's got left.
That's all he got.
That's right.
Interesting choice. Interesting choice. Well, Ben, what is our second selection here?
Here we go.
Ooh, what's it going to be?
Feeling lucky, feeling lucky. And it's a 2002 Saturn L200. Who would drive a 2002
no
Saturn
one. Next
L200?
Choice.
Which is the L200?
It's the sedan, the bigger one.
It was the Opel.
The douchey one.
It was the Opel slash Saab slash Epsilon 1 slash anything that came out of the parts bin.
So who would drive one, Chris?
Oh, let's see. It would be a grandmother living on Social Security and eating cat food.
Oh, that will be Ben shortly.
She would have to eat cat food because if you've ever seen a brake bill on these, replacing the brake systems, it's quite expensive.
So you're voting with Chris then, Jeff?
Yeah, it's someone that I feel bad for.
Very well put. Very well put. Shelly, who's driving one of these?
I think one of my neighbors.
I feel sorry for them as well.
Yeah.
Zachary?
That's a good question. When we actually went to go buy the Forester, we looked around at a couple others, and there was one at a dealer, and it was way overpriced. And the guy's like, well, how about this over here? And it was, in fact, this exact car. I was like, so I came looking at a Forester that's turbo, 5-speed, all-wheel drive, and you think I want a Saturn L200.
Well, that's there's a reason for that, because considering you're looking at a Forester, he probably considered that you might have been a lesbian.
Good possibility, I guess, if you're a stereotypical asshole. But
All right, Eric, who drives the Saturn?
I don't know who would drive the Saturn, to be honest. I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Probably doesn't know too much about cars, I would say. Maybe picked it up used. I don't think they have the greatest resale. Mm-hmm. Maybe a college student, I would say, a freshman or so, might drive one of those.
All right. Eric?
40-year-old single mother of three who's a waitress at Denny's.
Ooh.
That's hard to beat. That's a good one. It's a pretty good
start with Denny's.
You get the 2, 4, 6, or 8 grand slam or curdled milk. Wasn't that you, Jeff? No? Ben?
No.
And she might even qualify for WIC.
Oh, nice.
You see, I imagine some blonde-haired, 40-ish woman, kind of eco-friendly, you know? She rides her bike a lot. She tries to buy the recycled paper products and stuff. That's who I kind of imagine driving this.
I haven't seen.
Can I just ask who we haven't offended in this episode?
What's that?
Good question.
What's life if you can't offend everybody?
Exactly.
And we're going for broke with this episode.
Well, we got Eric's segment next, so we'll find out. Gaps, all right.
We're gonna hit the flat spot.
I mean, I don't sound angry. I'm the triple winner. I'm the single mom. Did I say single mom? And Mexican. So,
olé!
If you haven't offended me yet.
Wow. She comes back every week. She's a trooper. Got to tip my hat I'm not wearing to you, Michelle. God bless you. God bless you. But a funny story about these Saturn L200s. I used to work for Enterprise Rent-A-Cars, like a car wash guy, kid, whatever, back.
How cute.
I know. I got to go pick strangers up and drive around with them. So it was always a contest for me. I would always see how many, with the vehicles, how many parts I could take off without any tools from the interior as I was driving. The Saturn L200 was the winner. Every dash vent could just easily be snapped out. The whole trim bezel around the radio could come right out. Parts of the center console. Everything was snap tight inside. It was absurdly awful.
Designed for disassembly.
Yeah, basically. But enough Saturn. Ben, you've got our third and final choice. What is it? Lay it on us. Come on now.
It is a 1997 Safari Cat diesel pusher.
Oh.
Oh.
You've got.
Oh, my.
You've aroused Michelle. That's,
oh, my.
That's a Winnebago.
I think this is easy. The only person to drive that is a Teamster.
The only thing wrong with this is that it doesn't have any slide outs on it.
The only thing wrong with this is not in my driveway.
Exactly.
50 grand, though. Ooh.
Diesels tend to.
You and Sandra Bullock.
Their value. If that was a gas car, if that was a gas powered one, it'd be about 15 grand.
Mmm. Whew. Diesel. So, any takers? I have no idea.
I'm sticking with the Teamster.
All right. Eric.
Me, because this is what I want to take to the racetrack when I'm racing.
Well, it would be an upgrade from your home, wouldn't it?
Well, my tent.
Nobody to stand on your lawn or whatever.
Yeah. No, these are – I'd love to have one of these.
Zach, Jeff, Michelle?
You know, most of the people that I know that that have invested in one of these things
invested?
Sell their house. Yeah. Yes, they invest. Yeah. They will sell their homes and, you know, upon retirement and then buy one and travel the country. My mom has a neighbor who they must have their house clear and clean because they like their house a lot, but they still have one parked in their driveway. So I'd say they're in their 70s.
Roaming from town
tired,
to town.
And they think about
looking
roaming
for the
around.
Blue light special.
They don't actually go anywhere.
Seeing who has the best buy on Efferdent.
See, I was talking about the rich rednecks down at Daytona 500, and this is what you see covering the infield. Just thousands mm-hmm. of these.
Yeah, same
but
thing at Indy.
I'm not saying I wouldn't turn one down.
It's got maple woodwork for Christ's sake. You got to like it just for that reason.
It's a great vehicle for getting your friends together and going to a race for the weekend.
Well, see, the reason I want, like I said, for a race would be great. You can go to tailgating at football games. These
is
are perfect for them.
Pass out in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing like rolling down the road and then not having to stop to go to the bathroom. You just, you
take
know.
Take a dump.
And the seats are such
Matthews.
You can swap out the driver
Dave
without
Matthews,
stopping.
Exactly.
Dave Matthews. God, I put a gun to my head to go to a Dave Matthews concert.
All right.
But for, like, in my situation, where, you know, I don't want to sit in an airport for 5 hours just so I can get on a 50-minute flight, you know, and I would like to take – I don't want to have to kennel my dog. I can take one
Lola.
Of these. No, never have to worry about, you know, well, does this hotel take dogs or whatever, you know.
You got to bring her. She can be the roundabout mascot sometime. Yeah, well, I hate you, Craig. Anyway, he didn't actually say that. I ad-libbed for him. But, Ben, thank you. Those are very random choices. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You are welcome.
So, all right, before we wrap things up, I think Eric over here needs to blow off a little bit of steam. So, as always, your mileage may vary. Eric, what have you got for us? What's going on?
My issue this week.
Okay. This is his gripe.
We've narrowed it down to, of my multiple issues I have, we're just going to talk about this one.
You have issues, sweetie?
Right? is the continued moaning by flaming morons who insist that GM was wrong to kill Pontiac and Pontiac was such a great brand. Every message board, every car message board, it seems, every chat room, whatever, is like, oh, Pontiac was such a great brand and GM made a mistake by killing that and this and that. And I think these people were, you know, these people weren't alive the last time Pontiac had a really strong lineup. Let's talk about the lineup that Pontiac had when they decided to euthanize this thing, thankfully. It had the G3.
Them are fighting words.
And the less said about the G3, the better. The G5, which was so pathetic that a Toyota Solara had more personality. And when a Toyota Solara has more personality, you know you're in trouble. The G6 is sort of in that same thing because that was the meh car, right? You know, when you're going head to head with a Camry for your personality, you know. Then there was the
It's got more personality than a Camry.
It had there were various rebadged SUV people carrier things that I can't. They were so bad that you don't even remember the names of the what it was. It was the Montana or, you know, the TransConnect or something
the
like
Transport,
that.
Transport. Yeah.
Exactly. It was so bad that no one remembers the damn name of the thing. And then there was the G8, which everyone was like, oh, it was the G8. And trust me, no one loves Holdens more than I like Holdens, okay? But the car was so great that they never sold any of them until they were putting the brand out of business and discounted them by $7,000 and
$8,000. Exactly.
Oh, snap.
So
Ben.
This was – no. Ben bought one. Okay. But Ben got the family, you know, GM family discount on that, I believe. So.
No, I used.
Oh, okay. Well, close enough. But
now what? That's roundabout close enough.
Yeah, exactly. So this was a brand that was so good that the lineup completely blew, and yet everyone's like, "Oh, Pontiac, this and that." I'm like, "Will you please, Ben, get your M button ready to mark this? Will you please shut the f*** up and go away? Thank you.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
That's some vitriol,
yay,
right?
Applause.
There.
So I take it you didn't like Pontiac, huh?
Oh, Pontiac of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and occasionally in the 80s, you know, one or two little drops of blood here and there.
6,000 STE. Yes, we're going to make a performance sedan that's as good as a BMW.
I was thinking more ours, the T1000.
Ours is front drive.
Well, that's the advantage, really. Because it pulls the car around the corners.
We've got four-wheel disc brakes. Well,
the reason I say the 80s is because when the Firebird, when they redid the 350 in the late 80s in the Firebird and Trans Am, that actually was a pretty decent car. You know, 70s, there were obviously some different things off and on through there. 60s, we say more. And even the 50s, there were some very cool big Pontiacs of the 50s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything from pretty much from the early 90s especially, but let's say the late 80s on, other than the occasional Trans Am Firebird, that lineup blew. So.
Well, Eric, you're taking a hardline stance on this. You're going against the grain, as it were. A lot of people want Pontiac back, but we're glad you were here.
So, Craig, do you want to tell the Aztec Owners Club where they can get in touch with him?
Yes, Eric lives in Dearborn, Michigan.
You won't have to worry, Eric. It's only, I think, two people. But
I drive Aztecs. I mean, really.
They're probably legally blind if they do drive an Aztec, you know? That's the qualification.
I used to work with someone who had bought two of them. Yes.
Why two?
He liked the first one. He said it drove great and did everything he wanted to do.
No.
And he could even haul his dirt bike around in it. And he bought the second one because he got such a good deal.
No. The retinal scarring is not worth
it. I at that point wanted to pull his car guy credentials away and flush them down the toilet and him with it, but I just
he wouldn't fit in the bowl.
No. And I would be arrested for parting the body up.
And on that happy note.
Love that manhandling, don't you?
And on that even more disturbing note, I think we can wrap things up for this week. Zachary Bowman. Autoblog.
Yep.
Glad you could make it.
Glad to be here.
With some heart. Glad to be here. Where can the people find your stuff? What are you working on?
Let's see. You can find my stuff on autoblog.com. Next week we should have a review of the 2010 Chevrolet Silverado Hybrid.
You heard it here first, folks. Actually, you did on Roundabout.
Depends on if my editors allow it to go live as it is. I was not kind. And then there will also
you mean they got out the Craig Cole red pen?
Yeah, maybe so. And there may also be a short feature on my time experiencing the NASCAR lifestyle over this past weekend in Charlotte. So
what about something on Hooniverse? I've heard a lot about that.
If
not gonna happen.com.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
Sadly true. You know, I'm at 3,000 words a day, and I'm dying. You know, I have no time for anything really. So, but do check out Hooniverse.com. Except for please check out Hooniverse.com. It's an awesome site.
Hooniverse.
Hooniverse.
All right, that's enough. Yeah. You had your 30 seconds.
No,
Jeff, what are you doing? Autotropolis.
This for Craig.
I'm also on roundaboutshow.com.
What do you do there?
And I download Audible podcasts.
You read with your ears?
I read with my ears. It comes alive in my head. Nothing big planned.
You usually don't.
What?
Keep going.
Next week, I'll be reviewing the Golf TDI. They just dropped it off yesterday with its burned-up clutch. And that's about it.
Well, very good. We look forward to that review, that scathing review. Eric Rumblestrip, rumblestrip.net, blog.webrightstv.com.
Yep.
What's going on in your world?
So, well, we talked last week on the show, talked about the Triumph Rocket 3 Roadster that I rode, and yeah, it wasn't. You know. If you like cruisers, it was a good bike. Yeah. If you don't like cruisers, it was.
And fat chicks, right? Because it was heavy.
Oh, yeah. And this week, I was on the Triumph Speed Triple R, or excuse me, Street Triple R. And you'll be seeing that on blog.webridestv.com, on rumblestrip.net, and maybe even on autolinedetroit.tv in the John's Journal.
John's Journal it is.
So
it's turning into Eric's Journal.
No. So we'll see.
Check it out. We'll get that up probably in a week or two, Ben.
Yeah, or month.
And you can always follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Very good. Michelle Naranjo, Miss Motormouth on Twitter, missmotormouth.com. What's happening in your world?
I have a kind of boring week. Well, first of all, we're not doing open line this week.
Salacious.
Because it is a Memorial Day weekend.
It's time to reflect.
So there... Yes, time for us to memorialize.
I always reflect.
Well, if you don't reflect, we know you're a vampire.
That's right.
Tuesday, we will have our regularly scheduled MingleMediaTV.com show at 9 p.m. on Tuesday night. What else do I do? Oh, roundabout show. And I'm making plans for my summer road trip with... my good friend Ben Cottontail and Craigie.
Can we bring the cat, you think?
Not if I'm allergic, which I am.
Well, we'll saran wrap it.
That I'd like to see.
Ooh, now PETA will get you for that one. Wow.
We're collecting cat sweat here.
Yeah, cats don't sweat.
It's homeopathic medication in China, along with the panda bladder.
Like shark cartilage. Yeah.
Okay. Michelle, thank you for putting up with my insults for an hour and 41 minutes now. Appreciate it.
Is that all it's been? It seems like 2 hours.
What's that, Michelle?
I said, I love you, Craig.
Oh, Michelle, thank you. I love you too. You're too kind for showing up every week on time and being a participant in this. Cluster. Beep. And
cluster f***. That was cluster f***.
Yeah, get it right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
And last but not least, we cannot forget about Christopher Sawyer, Cars in Context.
.com.net.us.
Whatever. You got all the URLs.
That's right. Bought all the URLs. Let's see. What am I doing this week? Well, let's see. I'm going to be continuing working on Don Panos' biography. Which is a lot of work.
He's not a complex guy.
No, not at all.
You know what I noticed, Chris? You called your article in brief Ford SVT Raptor, and it is like three times longer than anything I would ever consider in brief.
You haven't seen the long cut of what we do.
It's very, very thorough.
It's thorough.
We try to be thorough. We're very thorough people. We're anal retentive, actually.
There's a cream for that.
Oh, Lord.
Sounds like your wife's problem.
Things just went through my head, and I'm not going to say any of them.
That is very unsavory.
Wow. Working on a piece on how to fix the Indy 500. Just waiting for Dan Gurney to get back with me.
Okay. Well, you got a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
That's right.
Of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
And content.
Yes. And not that normal all-you-can-eat crap either.
No, this hasn't been out under the heat lamps all day.
Not the Golden Corral.
No.
It's more the, what was it, the Wynn buffet, Jeff? In Vegas?
I believe so, yes.
I'm sorry.
My brain was pushing that memory out because it hurt my stomach so much eating that much food. But yes, it was the Wynn.
All right. Well, Chris Sawyer, thank you for joining us. You have survived your inaugural episode of Roundabout.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Hope you'll come back in the future.
Absolutely. You're my kind of insane people.
Aww.
I'm so sorry.
You're crazy, too.
Exactly.
And Ben, thanks to you for getting the technical side of things off and running.
Appreciate it.
He did?
He sort of did. We were on time, per usual. 6:30, half hour late, which is on time for us. Mussolini made the trains run on time, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Allegedly.
And then he got strung up by piano wire and hung upside down.
Upside down. What can you do? Yeah. What can you do?
For a Klondike bar.
Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. Also, please, hint, hint, give us a call on our Google Voice number. Again, that's 1-559-ROAB-411. That's
5-1. Wait, Jonathan, call?
I'm not so sure.
Again, the number is 1-559-ROAB-411. If you're on a phone that does not have the letters associated with the number, such as a BlackBerry, Eric, hold yours up so the audio listeners can see it.
Close to the microphone.
The numbers
now.
Are
actually. Mine's a special BlackBerry.
Well, Michelle's got the old one. That is one.
No, I do not. I have a Nokia N97 now. Thank you.
The number is 1-559-762-2411. Again, that's 1-559-762-2411. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. You can get up to the second updates from that.
And you'll want to be doing that because we will be announcing a new Mario Kart get-together very soon.
Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
You can subscribe to Roundabout in the iTunes store or on the Zune Marketplace, like me.
Facebook me.
Yes, Michelle, Facebook me too. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening right now. Please, I beseech you, join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
God bless you. I'm the best!
We're getting sued by Nintendo!
So I'm gonna start just copying our Google Voice number into the bathroom stalls. I'm just gonna see how that goes.
I need to stretch
for
the legs.
For a good time,
might go
ask
well.
For Craig.
Go for it.
Yeah, for a good time, call Craig.
He has warm hands.
Oh yeah.
Ben, your resistance was great. You held back from the fetter. Confederated sound effect.
I didn't use that. I didn't use the cougar.
And you had an opportunity with the Mercury cougar, no less.
I know.
It would have been appropriate.
But
I'm not sure there
out was
much that was appropriate. the whole 2 hours.
And you can't buy real beer in Utah. So.
Not at all.
Mormon Valley
Ranch. Neither
can
Gary Coleman now since he passed away.
Oh, that's below the belt.
Yes. But
so is Gary Coleman.
Mark that as an outtake for the end, Ben. I was in the smart Fort Woe.
We just talked about that.
Well, I got to drive it this week. I think they reverse engineered.
A wind-up toy?
I was thinking something Soviet era.
Oh, Chuck. No. You don't cut your hands on anything under the seats in a smart. You obviously did not go to the Frankfurt Motor Show 4 years ago.
No, what did you cut yourself on?
The Chinese showed up with their cars and they had them open, and one of the journalists reached down to
adjust
the seat and pulled up a bloody hand.
That's our razor blade feature.
Everybody go, oh, no. What do we do now? Get him off stage. Get him off stage.
He will stain upholstery.
Please. And then they lock the cars up.
Oh, dear.
How about anybody like coffee? I have seen things at racetracks that I really, never thought I'd see in my life. The best of them being, though, standing at the along the fence in the back straight at Watkins Glen for the Grand Prix in 74 and having George Harrison standing next to me taking a leak.
Wow.
And I look over at him and I just go, boy, that guy looks a lot like George Harrison. And he goes, how you doing? And just it is. And then
sir,
I realized.
Sir, I have to shake your hand after you wash your hands.
I really didn't want to shake his hands after that. That's very, very true.
Craig, $10 if you can name who George Harrison is.
You know goddamn well I can't.
Oh my god.
So, hey Michelle, you're Cyloning on us.
She's breathing heavy again.
Oh,
she's speaking through her voice box again. She's a smoker.
Oh, shut up, Craig.